Scott, thank you so much for leading us through that. Sarah, well done on that trip. Thanks for leading the team so well, for helping them get all their funds raised, and for taking whipped cream in the face. Better you than me. Hey, Fusion, my name is Bo. So glad that you guys are here. Great to be with you at Fusion. You guys picked a good night to be here. It is an incredible evening to be here at Fusion. We are just so blessed as a community. And want to just say happy Labor Day weekend. Hope you guys are enjoying your long weekend. Thanks for making some time and space to be with us here at Fusion on this Labor Day weekend. You know, tomorrow is Labor Day. And to be honest, I feel like that's a day that many of us, we don't actually stop and think about, like, what is Labor Day actually about? Most of us, I know myself, typically just take the extra day off and, like, don't ask any questions. Like, what is this? Why are we doing this? But Labor Day is a national holiday set aside to celebrate the labor movement and all that workers have done for our country. And it's nice to take an extra day to set aside to say thank you for all the work you do, because on one hand, in my opinion, that's what paychecks are for. Like, thank you, here's your paycheck for it. But on the other hand, for many people, the paycheck isn't actually enough to get it done, which leads us to our title for tonight's sermon, Side Hustle. Side hustle is, it's work that we do in addition to our main job to earn extra income, right? And unfortunately for so many, specifically so many young adults living in Los Angeles, a side hustle is actually necessary just to make ends meet, right? So you're out there, you're driving Uber late at night deep into the morning, or you're up early in the morning working that extra shift at Starbucks, slinging that pumpkin spice like crazy, or you're selling your knitted creations on Etsy, all of this as a side hustle. There are times where we need that extra hustle. Hustle is defined as being forced to move hurriedly or unceremoniously in a certain direction. For so many, that's how we feel, not only about our side hustle, but when we think about our actual, our main job, our real job, we feel that same way. Whatever we do for work, so many of us can be tempted to want to do it in this hurriedly and unceremonious manner. Just trying to get through, just trying to get to the end of this project, to the end of this work day, to the end of this work week, just trying to get through it. Some of us, we have to come to church on Sunday night because we know we have to go to work on Monday morning. It's like, I got to go see Karen at work tomorrow. I'm going to pray myself up at Fusion before I go to work tomorrow morning. But maybe work wasn't meant to just be a hustle, trying to get done with something as quickly as possible. Tonight, we're going to talk about God's plan for our work, whatever job or side hustle we might have. Would you pray with me as we begin? So, Lord, we thank you so much for this community. Thank you for this place that we can come and worship you, that we can come and experience your presence. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to speak to us tonight. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So would you change us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab your bulletins, which hopefully you got on the way in. There will be some verses that we're going to work through and a few points for you to fill in as we spend a few minutes looking at this. So if work wasn't meant to just be a hustle, just trying to crawl to some finish line at the end of the week, or even just retirement at the end of it all, then what is work? There's three things I want us to know about work tonight. Number one, you can write this down. Work is God's idea. Work is God's idea. For many, the ultimate dream, if we're actually honest, the ultimate dream that we have is to achieve some level of wealth, some level of success where that will allow us to stop working. Like, just don't work at all, right? Like, wouldn't that be nice, honestly, to have all of the money that you need and just be able to just, like, sit back, play a little Madden, like, watch The Office for, like, the 14th time, lay on the couch and, like, scroll through Twitter, get disgusted with Twitter and delete the app, Put it back on your phone 20 minutes later so you don't miss the next dumpster fire, you know, thing on Twitter that you need to be a part of. Like, maybe this sounds nice now, but the reality is that's not how we were designed. God's plan for us is not to sit around all day and do nothing. In our fantasy world, that may be what we think we want, but the truth is that is not how we were wired, and I am convinced that life would not be satisfying to us and who we really are. If you go back to the beginning, all the way back to the garden, to paradise, to the world as God created it and intended for it to be, even there, work was a part of it for humanity. Look at Genesis chapter 1. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and creatures that crawl on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth.'" Here we read about God creating humanity. And I want us to notice that the first thing that is ever said about humanity is that we are created in God's image. Male and female, created in the image of God. You've got to know, Fusion, that God's image is the core blueprint to who you are. I'm not saying that we're not flawed, and certainly I think that sin has marred that image in us, but you need to know tonight with confidence, Fusion, that you are an image bearer of the God who created the universe. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not your mistakes. You are created in the image of God. It's the first thing that was ever said about you, and somebody needs to hear tonight, it is still said about you now in this moment. You are created in the image of God. The second thing that is said about us is that we were created to work in cooperation with the rest of his creation. It's how he intended us to fit into the larger picture of his creation. Yes, we are to enjoy the creation that he made, but we are also to partner with it, to play our role, to fit into the ecosystem that is the creation that God made. And I love this about our design. I love it that we were made to be useful. We were made to be creative. And doesn't that fit into the truth that we are created in God's image? That the creating God, he gave us this ability and this drive and this desire and this design to create something. And so we model ourselves after him. He created. He brought order out of chaos. He organized and he set things in motion. Then he said to us, "Now you do this. Now you do this." I mean, if anybody had a right to just sit back and put their feet up, it's God, right? He's holy. He's perfect. He already exists in perfect relationship in the Trinity. And yet he doesn't just throw on Netflix and scroll through Twitter. Probably because there is no Twitter in heaven. It is safe for hell. I'm convinced hell is just a scrolling feed of all the trolls on Twitter you just have to look at all the time. It's not there in heaven. So that's not what he does. Instead, he works. And part of that work was him showing us what we were designed to do. It's that idea of modeling for someone what you want them to do because you know it's best for them to do that thing. You can say things to people all day long, but I am convinced that actions speak so much louder than words. We all do this all the time. My wife, Blake, and I, we certainly do this in our family. Blake and I
spend most mornings, almost every morning, sitting at our kitchen table for the very first thing we do, drinking coffee and reading our Bibles. And yes, it's primarily in order for us to receive from God daily, but it's also to show our children something. This is what we do. We read our Bibles. We drink good coffee. Our coffee comes from a Chemex or a French press, not from a Keurig, because we are not barbarians, okay? We start every day like this, right here. And slowly, what we're doing is we are teaching our children this is what they should do. Yeah, our children, they're going to have a choice. Someday they are going to get to choose whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus, whether or not they choose to interact with God's word. But what I know is that it is best for my kids to fall deeply in love with God's word. And so that is what I model for them every single day that I can. God worked. And he set the example for us. And then he said, now you do this. Because this is what is best for you. This is how you were designed. Work is God's idea. Number two, work honors God. Work honors God. Look, God didn't just come up with work, but he is also honored when we do it with the right heart. Honor is something that can so easily be lost in our culture today, but honor is a really important thing, Fusion. To honor is to regard with great respect, to highly esteem someone. Honoring someone demonstrates what you think about that person. And if you came to me and you asked me for some advice on a situation, and I gave you some ideas of how I think you should handle it, if you put those ideas into action, if you actually do those ideas, I will feel honored by that. I will feel honored that you valued my idea and you decided to put it into action in your life. I believe that response shows respect. And if you honor someone's ideas, then you will implement someone's ideas. When I call my dad for help for ideas, and I do this all the time, there is a really good chance I'm not only going to listen to his ideas, but I'm going to put his ideas into action in my life because I honor my father. And I know that my dad has a perspective and he has experience that I do not have, and it is to my benefit to listen to his ideas and to put them into action in my life. Look, work was God's idea. And for us to put that idea into action in our lives, but listen, this is important, not with grumbling and complaining, but with joy in our hearts, that honors God. It demonstrates to God that we recognize that he knows best and that he designed this whole thing, and it is actually a joy for us to get to live in and operate in this world as he designed it and intended for it to be. And to do that, it means that we remember that ultimately we don't actually work for our boss or for our supervisor, but for the Lord. Fusion, whatever your job might be, you ultimately work for God first. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Notice it doesn't say, if you work for a church, then work like you work for the Lord. If you work for a nonprofit that serves the homeless, then work like you work for the Lord. No, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. It says heartily in here, which is a word that honestly I don't use all that often, but it's a really powerful word, especially in this sentence. You see, the word used for heartily in the Greek here, it's the same word used for breath or for life. And when you think about it, breath, like it's the key foundation point of us being alive, isn't it? Like, let's just say that there's an accident that happens and the paramedics arrive because somebody was hurt. The first thing they are going to try to establish is this person breathing? It's the first thing they're going to check. And it's the first thing they're going to work on. They're not going to be worried about hurt arms, hurt legs, scrapes, or bruises if the person isn't breathing. Why? Because everything is dependent on this one thing. Is there breath? Breath is life. Breath is the foundation of it all. And Paul says here in Colossians, listen, the breath of your work, the foundation of your work, the life from which everything else of your work flows is the fact that you work for God. And you honor God when you work because it's His idea and it is His design for you. Fusion, work is not a punishment from God. I know it can feel that way sometimes. Like, what did I ever do to God to have to work 5 or 6 days a week for my entire life? Like, what did I do to earn this? And I think sometimes we think that because of what we read in the Bible. We read in Genesis chapter 3, after the original sin, after the fall, God describes how work is going to be now for man, and there's going to be sweat, and there's going to be toil, and there's going to be thorns and thistles and plowing in the ground, and by the sweat of the brow. But listen, that is not describing the concept of work. That is describing the world in which we now live because of the brokenness of sin. And it's true, right? Everything is harder in our world because of sin. Everything is harder, including our work. Because we now live in a world where selfishness and pride and jealousy and greed, anger, fear, they all live. But that is not God's plan for work. That was not God's design for work. Look at Genesis chapter 2. It says, "So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it He rested from all His work of creation. No shrub of the field had yet grown on the land, and no plant on the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not yet made it rain on the land, but there was no man to work the ground. But mist would come up from the earth and water all the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. The Lord God then planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed." And look at 15. "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden of Eden to work it and watch over it." So here we read in Genesis that God has been working, and then He creates us to work. Here's what's fascinating about this chapter. There are two different words here used to describe work. One word is given when God works, and one word is given when humanity works. They're two separate words. When the Bible says that God works, It's using a word that describes creating or producing something that represents its creator. And we've already talked about this, specifically that people, we were made in the image of God. But listen, all of creation represents God. All of creation points to God. Romans will tell us that God made Himself known through creation to everyone, so no one has an excuse when it comes to not recognizing a creator. But then there's a second word given for work. And that word is used when people work. And this is a word that means to work as a form of service. Working for someone. As in, the foundation of everything that we do is to work for God. And here's the other cool thing about this word. The root for this word meaning work is the same root used in the word worship. The work that humanity does and the worship that we give God, they are from the same root word. Wow. Work and worship all come from the same place for us. Look, Fusion, work is not a punishment from God. It is a gift from God and is an opportunity for something. And you can write this down, number 3. Work is an opportunity to worship God. Work is an opportunity to worship God. We use phrases pretty regularly in the church like living a life of worship, but what does that really mean? Look, Fusion, worship is more than the 25 minutes that we sing at the start of a service. I always describe worship this way, as determining what you place in the center of your universe. You see, we all live lives that are basically our own universes with all of the different parts of our lives orbiting around something. And the truth is, we all choose something to sit in the center of our universe. It could be our career. It could be sports. It could be our image. It could be money. Whatever you place in the center of your universe and everything in your life orbits around that thing, that is the thing that you actually worship in your life. And to worship God, it means you place Him and His ways and His word and His design for you in the center of your life, and you decide everything else in my life is going to orbit around this one thing, who my God is and what He says. It means that your identity orbits around God. It means that your sexuality and how you handle it orbits around God. It means that how you handle your money orbits around God. It means how you choose to take care of your physical body orbits around God. And it means that your job and your career orbit around God. You worship God when you approach your work with excellence, remembering that this is His idea and He is honored when we do this well, when we work hard with the right heart. You worship God when you look for opportunities to love people in Jesus' name at your work and through your work. You worship God when you choose to work with integrity and not take shortcuts and not cheat the system like so many other people might do. Look at Romans 12, 11. Paul tells us, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I love how work hard and serve the Lord, they're paired together there in that statement. Every day you work is an opportunity for you to approach your job knowing that I am worshiping God when I work hard, when I work with integrity, when I remember that this is God's idea and this is God's plan and design for me. And I believe that God will be known through our work when we do that. Because work as worship gives glory to the one that we worship. And here's the great part. God is going to handle your job and your career. I think there might be some people who are sitting here now and you're like, Bo, that sounds fine, but I hate my job. I hate what I do. All I have is side hustles right now. I would love a main job. I would love a real job. Listen, Fusion, yes, you need to work hard. And yes, you need to pursue opportunities. And maybe for some of you, you need to take a risk when it comes to a career choice. But more than that, we need to trust that God is at work through our work and in our work. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. What would it look like if we committed our work to the Lord, Fusion? If you said tonight, Lord, I'm about to begin a brand new week of work at a job that may not be my ideal, but I give it to you anyways. I trust you to use me, God, at my job for your glory to make your name great. See, I believe that if that's the attitude with which we approach our jobs every week, God is going to begin to do something through our work. And I just dream of that being true of this community. Because at that point, we realize that our real work is to the Lord. And actually, everything else that we do is really just our side hustle. I work for God first, and my job is actually my side hustle. I work for God, and my side hustle is working at Starbucks, is being a teacher, is doing HR, is being an actor. My side hustle is being a pastor because I work for God first. And Alex, if you'll join me up here, I want to take a moment to pray for this community, to pray for anybody in this place who you want this to be true of you. You want to truly commit your work to the Lord. You want to recognize that work is God's idea, that God is honored when I work hard with the right attitude, and that I want to live a life of worship. I want to work as worship to the Lord. And so if that's you, I want to pray for you. And here's how I want to identify you. If this is not true of you, that's fine, that's okay. But if you're here tonight and you're saying, I want to work as worship unto the Lord in whatever my job might be, would you just stand to your feet right now so I can pray for you? Good. And here's what I want to do first. With a brand new school year that is just getting started, maybe it's already started, or for many of you, or it's about to start, I want to specifically pray first for anybody in this room who works in education in any capacity. If you are a teacher, if you are a principal, if you are an admin at a school, if you're a school counselor, if in some capacity you work in education, would you just raise your hand right now so I can see you? Yeah, good. I want to pray for you first. Fusion, can we pray together? God, I pray first and foremost for these people in our community who work in this incredibly important field of education, Lord. God, I pray as their school years are just getting started, I pray for great favor on these people this year, Lord. I pray for opportunities to share your love with the students that they work with. God, in a field that can sometimes limit their capacity and ability to talk about you, God, I pray for divine opportunities, divine appointments to share your grace, to share your good news with the people and the students that they serve. God, I pray for protection for every person in this room who works in the education field. I pray for protection over their schools. God, I pray against the plans the enemy has over the schools of this nation. Instead, I pray for your peace and your grace to reign in those schools. And now, Lord, I pray for everyone else standing up, everyone else in this room who is declaring right now, I want to work as worship unto the Lord. God, I thank you that the jobs that we do are your idea, that it was your plan for us to work in whatever capacity it is that we work, whether it's at a job, Lord, whether it's at a coffee shop, in a business office, at home raising children, whatever it might be, God, we thank you that it was your idea. And God, I pray that you would give us the eyes to see it as worship unto you. God, I pray that whatever our job might be, that it would fade to a side hustle in light of worshiping you through our work, Jesus. God, I pray that your gospel would go forward to all the places represented in this room that we work, Lord. I pray that your good news would be preached, that lives would be changed, people would be saved at all of the places represented in this room, because there is a community standing up right now declaring, I work as worship unto the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Alex, will you lead us?